welcome to Crosswalk Talk Radio, a production of Crosswalk Life. I'm Carlotta Waldman, ordained minister of counseling, minister to ministers, seminar leader, and author of two major equipping websites, crosswalklife.com and nowfaith.tv. Crosswalk Talk is your opportunity to hear what God is saying, what He's doing, and to learn more about how to pray over difficult issues. Tonight, we're going to be talking about how to pray, how to get to the root instead of just the fruit, what God's strategy might be for your particular issue if you call in tonight. The number to call in is 917-388-4683, or you can listen online at Crosswalk Talk at Blog Talk Radio. The number again is 917-388-4683, and we want to welcome you. We're looking forward to hearing God's voice together. We want you to call in and share what your issue is. Unfortunately, we won't be able to do real counseling. Don't want long stories. We want everyone to have a chance to call in. But be thinking of how you can distill that issue down to a question. For instance, if you're having trouble with relationships, we don't have time tonight to hear the whole story, how your marriage is going or your friendships or with people at work, but you can distill that down to, I have difficulty with confrontation, can you pray for me, or how do I know if I should be more assertive or less, or is it okay for women to do so-and-so, you know, you can distill that down to the area that you really need to know about tonight. And we'll be trusting God to give us insights and to help us to know what the next step is, because God doesn't always tell us the end from the beginning, but He is always ready to help us to understand what He wants us to do next. There are so many reasons that we can talk about these things tonight to know more about what the Bible says, more about how to pray down to the root instead of just the fruit, and how to look at what our part in the situation might be. The first thing is that most people, when they call for counseling, they believe that if someone else is fixed, they'll be okay. You'll just fix my spouse, fix my parents, fix my children, I'll be okay. But we're going to be looking a little bit deeper, and I want to help you to understand how to see cause and effect, because God is not capricious. He doesn't just let things happen to us out of the blue. Many, many times there's a sowing and reaping process, or there's someone that we've judged and dishonored now that's coming back around to us, or maybe we have areas that we have gotten prayer over and they're only partially healed. In Jeremiah 6:14, the word says, they've healed my people slightly or partially. Peace, peace, but there is no peace. So if that describes your situation, keep listening and be thinking what your question is tonight. The Bible says, whatever we sow, we reap. So first of all, when we're having an ongoing situation, a pattern, we need to look at the fact that there might be a sowing and reaping process going on. Now, we don't reap what other people have sowed. We reap what we have sowed. If there's bad fruit on your tree, it's because there's a bad root on your tree. And I didn't like that. I didn't like thinking that I was anything but the victim. But I got tired of going around the same mountain over and over. And so that was one of the first questions that I learned to ask. God, did I sow something and now I'm reaping it? And the reason we ask that is because this is a spiritual law. Sowing and reaping is a spiritual law. If you have sowed it, you will reap it or something like it in yourself or in someone else, like forever, until you come to agreement with God on it. Repent of sowing it and choose to sow His will and His way or His timing or His truth into the situation. One of the biggest areas that I see is that people say, oh, I didn't realize that it mattered that much if I judged and condemned other people. But the Bible says there's no excuse for you, a man who judges another. Judge not, condemn not. You know, the way you forgive, you'll be forgiven too. And so when we look at Luke 6, we can see a lot of roots, a lot of roots of why people experience what they do, why patterns continue, why destructive downward spirals keep coming around. Another area that is so common is dishonor of parents and authorities. Now, this is a national sport in our country, so it may sound very normal to you. Excuse me. But in Exodus 20, there's an indication there, very strong, that if you honor your father and mother, your days will be long upon the land. Or in another place it says things will go well with you. So we need to make a list. First of all, when you have patterns in your life that you don't want, make a list of all the people that you dishonored, disrespected, even if it was a very long time ago, and repent. And of course, unforgiveness and resentment and bitterness is a very big area. Often, that is the root. And Hebrews 12:15 says, look diligently, lest any of you fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, this isn't just defiling others. It defiles you when you have a root of bitterness that you tolerate in your life. And, you know, when we're hurt, we allow ourselves to feel hurt and kind of enjoy that hurt at first sometimes. And we say, well, forgive them tomorrow. And then resentment builds up. And then, before you know it, we kind of forget about our part in the whole situation. We just blame the other person. We've got bitterness going on. So we need to learn to discern ourselves rightly, to take the word and the law, spiritual law of God, seriously, and to know how to discern both good and evil in our own reactions, our own responses. Hebrews 5:14 says we need to learn to discern by reason of use. That means practice it. Critical attitudes can cause us to be blind to our own sins too. Many times we criticize others for things, and then that starts coming back around like the sowing and reaping, and people are criticizing us for very, very similar things. And we're like, what's going on now? I'm doing the same thing. And critical attitudes not only start a sowing and reaping process where we're sowing it and then we reap it, but critical attitudes also cause us to be blind to our own sins. And when we become more and more blind because we're criticizing others, then, yes, we get criticized for it too. If we have bad fruit on our tree, Luke 6:43 says, that bad fruit comes from a bad root on our tree, because sowing and reaping is about what we have sowed, not what others have sowed. So tonight, I'm going to encourage you to call in 917-388-4683, and we're going to be looking at specific situations. Now, I have a couple guidelines here. I would rather you not mention other people's names on the air. You know, one thing that ministers really, really need to be known for is confidentiality. And so I definitely want to be careful with the hearts of other people and not say their names on the air. And you can give us your first name. You can say that it's a family member if you like, but what I don't want is to be known for talking about, against, or criticizing other people on the air. So please be careful how you word this. Now, we don't want you to go so far as to say, I have a friend that has this situation. We don't mean that. But, you know, if you just call in and you say, I'm Mary, I'm having serious difficulty respecting my husband, then what we're going to talk about is God's command to you to respect. We're not going to be talking about a long list of reasons and faults that your husband has. We're going to be talking about God's command to you to respect. So you see how that goes? I can't pray for someone that's not on the line. I don't want to talk against people that are not on the line. What I want to do is help you to understand what God wants from you. So if you can possibly word your question so that it's about you and what God wants you to do, that will be even better. Sometimes it's a fleshly inner vow that we've made that's holding us back. You know, years ago, like, oh my, 1993, I got a prophetic word that said I would be an unsticker. And that's kind of what we're talking about tonight, how to get unstuck. And one way that we can get stuck real quick is to have fleshly inner vows, like in my own strength, you know, I will never be like my parents, or I will never be employed again, or I will always. And when you do that, you're kind of confining yourself to a fleshly state because you're not giving the Holy Spirit room to give you a new direction or a new guideline. You're just saying in your flesh, in your own strength, what you will always or never do. So sometimes to get unstuck, one of the steps is we have to renounce the fleshly inner vows that we have made. And some of them sound pretty okay, like I will never argue like my parents did. Now, that may sound good on the surface, but actually, any time we can just choose to be spirit-led, that's better. That's better than saying what you will or won't do. Because why? Well, for one thing, sometimes, while you don't want it to be a hurtful argument, sometimes you need to just get things out. And a very, very strong fleshly inner vow that I will never argue can keep you back, hold you back from just getting something out, off your chest, starting from where you are. You know, try to speak the truth in love, but sometimes you just have to say how you feel and get it out and start from there. We can go into serious, serious brokenheartedness too. And this is one of the things that attracted me to learn about prayer ministry first, was to learn how to minister to people with broken hearts. And we want to learn how to bring those areas to God and to allow Him into those areas to heal, to redeem every experience, to replace the lies and the deception that came into our hearts with wisdom, and to learn how to let God heal the places that maybe we've covered or hidden or pretended weren't there. Learn how to let Him heal them so that we can be whole people ministering wholeness to others. Amen. Because, you know, the Bible says anytime you've got a rift with someone else, you also have a rift with God. Really? Yes, it does. You know, God says you can't hate your brother and love me. And so whether you're noticing that your patterns or downward spirals are more with God or whether they're with people, there's probably a little bit of both. And on the surface, it may look like it's more with people, or it may look like it's more with God. But we're going to just trust God tonight to help us to understand, God, where are we stuck? Where did we originally have a sinful reaction or a sinful behavior that got us into a place where we're reaping the same mess over and over? And in my case, I didn't even see how it was the same cycle, because the people's names changed and the circumstances changed. At first, I couldn't see that it was the same cycle. And then as I went to a prophetic counselor, I was able to see what each one of these cycles, each one of these relationships had in common. And that really helped me because I had some seriously negative cycles going on. I appreciate you calling in tonight. I'm not going to be able to operate the chat room. There's something going on again this week with Blog Talk Radio, and I can't use the main chat room. I can only use the little bitty one, and I'm almost scared to touch it because last week the whole studio or switchboard was disappearing if I did too much with this. So I'll be contacting them this week. I thought surely they'll fix it during the week, but it was not. So I'm going to go ahead and take a caller now, and I want to encourage everyone to call in. Usually I don't start taking callers till 9:30, but tonight I just sense that God is really wanting to minister to some people that would like prayer for some specific areas. So we're just going to trust Him. We're just going to trust Him. And right now I'd like to call on area code 435. Area code.
Hello?
Yes, welcome to the program. What is your name?
Hi, my name is Keisha.
Keisha?
Mm-hmm.
Well, tonight we're offering to hear God for prophetic insights on one particular issue. Our guidelines are that we'd rather you not mention other people's names and let them remain anonymous, but you can You can say it's a relationship if you want to, what kind. And we'd like to you to just share your question in less than a minute, because we can't go back to birth or make it a whole counseling session. But we want to be able to hear God for some insights for you. And Keisha, what would you like to ask tonight?
Okay, I'm going to try to do it. Okay. Well, I've been going through a situation for the past couple of years, but this situation mainly came from, I guess, how I was raised as a child, whereas I had the authorities in my life always took advantage of me in one way or another. And I kind of, you know, created a world of my own where I can do what I want to do, because they were so overbearing with me as a child and as a teenager, where I became very depressive because of how overbearing and how restrictive they were in my life. And then I started very resentful of authority figures. So when I became, even though I was like one of those real meek people, because they had, you know, really were breaking me essentially to be like nothing. So I went into these relationships and as a real weak person. And then, the men who I considered to be my authority, they considered me their competition. And then, you know, it just became a really abusive situation where I realized that I was a little bit stronger than what I was. And I realized how much I really hated them, you know, not them as a man, but them as help. I mean, you are, you know, the man in my life. You are the authority.
Okay.
Why are you acting like this? Okay, go ahead.
Okay. All right. All right. I think you went over a minute there. Let's look at some things. And, you know, I hate for people to just share their, you know, bare their whole existence on the radio if we can't deal with it. And so we can only share, you know, hear God about 1 minute of this, you know, because it's getting into some pretty deep water here. And I just really believe that God has some clear answers. And I'm wondering if you would like me to just pray for you, or if you would like me to go ahead and lead you in prayer to how to break the power of some of these cycles that you have going.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
See how brave you are? Many times when we have cycles going on, did you hear the introduction, how we've sown things and now we're reaping them?
Yeah, I heard that.
Okay. So we're going to go specifically there. The Bible says, if you dishonor authorities, that you are sowing that dishonor and you're going to reap it again, because it's a spiritual law. You're going to reap it again, either in yourself or in others. That's kind of why some people judge their alcoholic parents, and then of all things, they marry someone who later becomes an alcoholic, and you would think, who would ever think they do that? But they were due to reap it because they had all those judgments out there against alcoholics. And so are you ready right here and now to repent of condemning judgments against authority figures, even though they were wrong? Are you willing to do your side and ask God to forgive you for condemning them when actually he's the judge of all the earth?
Yes, I'm ready to repent.
Okay. Are you willing to, are you ready to renounce your judgments against them for being overbearing and competing with you and being abusive?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
I know those are big ones. Those are big ones.
They are.
They are. Are you willing to repent of your part in it for being resentful and actually hating them in some ways?
Yes.
Those are big. Are you willing to forgive yourself because these sinful reactions led to sinful behavior and led to strongholds in your own life?
Yes.
Can you see where I'm going? Are you willing to release God from any way that you may have blamed him for letting you have family members and authorities that were overbearing and treated you like nothing, and the men even competed with you and abused you?
Mm-hmm.
Because many times we have a rift with God, like, why couldn't you give me a better set of parents or a better family or better authorities in my life?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you're willing to do all that, then one last thing, are you willing to forgive them, even though maybe they're not even asking to be forgiven, even though maybe they haven't changed? Are you willing to let go on your end, turn them over to God, and say, God, I forgive them the debt that they hold, that I've been holding over them, or I felt like they owed me?
Yes.
See, this is how we can be free. When we don't forgive, we hold on to our right to judge that person or to criticize them or dishonor them, then God can't get to the hurt place in us to heal it, because we're busy holding on to it in our right to judge and
mm-hmm.
dishonor, you know? And so
right.
in order to get that healing that you so desperately need, it sounds like this hurt your heart in so many ways. The
mm-hmm.
devil was setting you up to have sinful reactions against them so that he could create a stronghold in your life of hatred or resentment or unforgiveness, so that he could
mm-hmm.
hold you back. Can you see that?
Yeah.
So if you're willing to ask forgiveness five ways, is what I've just described, and for those that didn't quite follow me, if you'll take a piece of paper and draw a cross on it and a circle in the middle, I just asked Keisha if she would ask forgiveness five ways. Like on the left, if you say, God, forgive me for judging others, and on the right, forgive me for not forgiving them. And on the bottom of the cross, if you'll write, forgive me for my sin in this, like of dishonoring and judging. At the top, if you'll release God for any way you might have blamed or complained or railed on him. And then in the center, if you can put myself, if you'll forgive yourself for falling for the devil's strategy to cause you to take offense at these folks and to hold you back. So, Father, I just thank you for Keisha, that she has said that she is willing to ask forgiveness for judging them, for her own sin, for not forgiving them sooner, for any way she may have blamed you, God, and to forgive herself. And we thank you, Father, that you died on the cross. You sent Jesus to die on the cross and purchase the right for us to be totally forgiven. And we just call on that. We pull on that today, and we say, Lord, we ask forgiveness. We know that you forgive us. We know that you came to break these downward spirals and these cycles in our life. We thank you, Lord, that your shed blood is enough, and that it hasn't lost its power, and that Keisha is being forgiven right now, and Lord, if you want her to even make a list of all the other ways that she judged them, she'll be able to hear your voice and know whether to do it. And I thank you, Lord, that you're not only forgiving her, but because we can take this whole cycle of abuse and hatred and resentment and being treated like nothing and all this self-will, you know, that she developed because they were overbearing, and round it goes. We bring this whole cycle to the cross and ask you, Jesus, to bring it to death. Just bring it to death. I just picture new dirt right now where, Keisha, you just have an opportunity to renounce and repent of all these things and to sow new things into new dirt. New ground, have a new sowing and reaping cycles where you can sow honor and you can sow respect for authorities and cooperation and a willingness to not be a doormat or anything, but a willingness to submit to God's authority and those he places under you, to have new relationships with authority. I say that because Jesus is bringing this whole cycle to death on the cross, that you will have new cycles in your life of good relationships with authorities, a new ability to cooperate and to work together. And as God raises you up in areas of authority, that people respect you and honor you. And we just declare and decree that as you sow those good things and speak forth that honor and speak forth that respect, that people will not only respect you, they will want to invest in you and your vision. They will want to give honor where honor is due, that you will see that people even want to consult you and to know how God is speaking for them, and they will not only respect your authority but your insights, and they will be able to learn from your relationships with others. And where the enemy had wanted to make you weak in the area of relationships with authorities, and your whole identity of feeling like you're nothing around authorities, and have all those issues go on forever, even with people that hadn't done anything wrong to you yet, the Lord says, I want to make those weak places strong, and you will be one that people will say, now that woman knows how to walk in her spiritual authority in Christ, and you'll be able to explain to them how it was when I got my own attitudes right with authorities that God was able to trust me with more spiritual authority. Amen?
Amen. Okay.
Now, does that make sense to you? What did you get out of that?
What I got out of it? Well, I got a lot of stuff out of that. Forgiveness is the biggest one. And then change of attitude is the next one. But it was mostly how in the beginning I just felt like drops, like healing. I felt it a couple of times. It like went down to the bottom of my heart a couple of times. And towards the end, I felt the burning come across my body. So I know that something took place. I'm not sure exactly, but I know something. It was like, you know, just washed me down, didn't rinse me, you know. That type of feeling. So I really thank God for you, and I thank God for your broadcast, and we'll see what happens from here on in.
Okay, well, I hope you'll email us at cwt@cwlinc.com, or if it's easier to remember, you can just write cwt@crosswalklife.com, and let us know what God does, because I didn't like this prayer at first, asking forgiveness five ways, when I said I was the victim of all this abuse. But when I prayed it, with very little faith, but when I prayed it, I began to see a turnaround in my relationships, and authorities were willing to meet with me. We began to build relationship, and I just saw a huge change in my life.
Okay.
Well, let us know how it goes.
Okay.
Have a wonderful night.
Let it be. All right. Thank you so much.
All right.
Stay blessed. Bye-bye.
We have several callers now, but none of them has pushed the one letting me know that they want to be next. So if you would like to be next, please push that little one and let us know that you would like to have prayer tonight, prophetic prayer. And Keisha, you need to push the one and mute yours. Area code 717, welcome to the program.
Hi, my name is Nancy. I would like prayer.
Okay. Do you have one issue that you'd like to ask about, Nancy?
I don't know. I was thinking about that as I was listening. When you try to reach out to people and they don't reach back, like I have a friend who I, years ago, and in essence, she betrayed me. I know, you know, and I held no bitterness or anything with her and stuff. And then God really dealt with her and she came and apologized, but it didn't like mend a relationship, but I was very thankful to God that he knew my heart and the whole issue of it. And then years passed, and I just, like, God on Facebook, not like just back in March, and I looked to see if she was one she was on, and I waited months and months debating whether I should reach out because, you know, kind of like the disappointment a little bit. And I reached out, and after a bit, she accepted my friendship, and then we talked some on the phone and emailed a little bit, and then I called her, I think, I asked for prayer about something, and then for some reason, I said, is this a bad time? And she said, yeah, but I'll call you back, and she never called me back, and 2 weeks went by, and I emailed her, asking her, you know, what was up, and she didn't respond, and then I waited 2 more weeks and decided to try again, and, like, I just haven't heard from her then, and it's been, I don't know, you know, I think maybe last time we spoke was September, and I can't figure, you know, some things I can't figure out what God is doing, or just what, you know, I'll get disappointed when people don't, you know, I don't know, maybe meet my expectations or something, but I just don't understand.
Is this a pattern or just more within one person, Nancy?
Well, it's kind of a pattern, but in this particular person, you know, I had my guard up, wasn't sure if I should reach out. You know, she sent me a Christmas card back maybe in 04, and I wrote her back, and even wrote her, I tried to make everything simple, you know, maybe told her I missed her or something, and she never responded, and then until I found her on Facebook. But that's just like, well, just like.
How can I pray for you? Because what we don't do is, we're not praying for the other people. We're praying for you tonight. And can you put it down to one sentence? How can I pray for you? Is it more about the disappointment?
Yeah, I think that's the right word.
And you're not seeing it happen with a number of people. It's mostly with one person.
Some, because I've called people and they haven't returned my call. I know one person, you know, I used to be, you know, talk to a lot, and I think God severed that relationship. But I, you know, and then, I mean, we've talked or a couple of times, but there's nothing there. And I called last week just to,
Well, we, one, we can't please everybody. And I had to learn a long time ago, of course, I'm probably considerably older than you are, that I can't please everybody and to hang with the people that like me, especially being prophetic. That isn't going to please everybody. But if you're seeing a pattern where you feel rejected or you reach out to people and they aren't responding, we can pray about that pattern.
Okay.
I just don't want to invent one if it's not a pattern.
No, that's right. Can you hear me? The connection is all.
Yeah, it sounds like you're moving paper or something. That's real loud here.
Yeah.
Are you able to?
Yeah. I'm not moving. I'm just sitting on the chair, but I hear all the cracking.
Okay, why don't you push the number one and we'll just mute it again for right now.
Okay.
It is very loud.
Okay, I press one. Come on.
Are you on Skype?
No, I'm not.
I don't understand why.
I'm on my phone.
Okay. If it gets too bad, you can just hang up. But it's all right now. Father, I just thank you for Nancy. I just thank you for everything that's in her heart that you're going to heal. I thank you for... Okay, quiet it down again. Father, I just thank you that you're a healer, you're Jehovah Rapha, that you want to heal her heart, and in the areas where your disappointment has been able to lodge, and in the areas where she's lost focus on you, and the enemy wanted to cause her to focus on how people had hurt her, caused her to have sinful reactions, caused her to take offense, or caused her to have sinful behavior toward them. The enemy wanted to intimidate you, Nancy, and cause you to hang back and to even have, what he really wants is for you to have fleshly inner vows that you just won't reach out anymore and you just won't risk and you won't take chances with people. And the Lord says, I want to make those weak places strong. I want to come in and heal your heart. And as you release them to me, as you release the hurt and forgive them for whether they were lying or forgot you or just didn't care or weren't loving or whatever, as you release that hurt to me, the Lord says, I'll take it upon myself, as I died on the cross to do. I'll take it upon myself. And the Lord says, I want to restore into your life the blessings that you've lost, the rewards that you've lost because of these situations. And the Lord says, Nancy, I'm just asking you to, one by one, just to put those people in my hands and let me deal with them and let me be the judge of all the earth. Just put them in my hands. All the disappointment that you felt in me because I allowed these things to happen, and any judgments that you might have had against them because the enemy wanted to trick you into not only thinking people were saying word curses over you, but also to trick you into saying word curses over them and judging them for being unkind or uncaring or indifferent and all that. And even the enemy wanted you to judge yourself, saying there must be something wrong with me, and to not receive my truth over you, the Lord says. And I want you to receive my truth over you, to know that that every born-again believer, every child of mine, has my unconditional love and acceptance, is born and planned and purposed for a destiny that's in me, regardless of these situations that the enemy has tried to create, that he has not been able to derail you and get you on plan B instead of plan A. The Lord says, I just want to forgive you. If you'll ask me to forgive you, I just want to forgive you and to restore you and to give you the courage to reach out in difficult situations, and I will make these weak places strong. And if you'll just forgive yourself for even buying into the lies that the enemy tried to tell you, as he tried to make you think that you're not worthy or you're not adequate or you're not good enough or you always do things wrong, something like that. The Lord says, if you'll just forgive yourself, I'm pouring new strength into you, new healing into your heart. And the Lord says, you're going to know how to do something that few people know how to do. You're going to know how to give people gifts of trust, and that means that you'll trust them and give them another chance. You'll give them another chance when they haven't earned it, they haven't even asked for it, they don't deserve it, but you'll know how to give them a gift of trust. And the reason I call it a gift, the Lord says, is because there's no strings attached. If they still fail you, if they're still unkind or uncaring or unresponsive, then you won't feel rejected and hurt because it was a gift with no strings attached. And you'll know when I ask you to do that, Nancy, because I'm going to ask you to give them a gift with no strings attached, and if they don't rise to the occasion, don't be hurt. Don't be hurt. Just turn it back over to me again and know that I'll be working in their heart to teach them what relationships are, friendships are, or love is, or whatever it is that they need to know. So rather than taking it personally and letting the devil wound you even more, you're going to receive my healing for yourself, receive my forgiveness for ways that you had sinful reactions or sinful behavior yourself. And as you do that, I'm bringing healing. I'm bringing back the blessings and the rewards that you lost. Even in some cases, I hear the Lord saying, I'm going to restore the years that you lost. But this weak area, I want to make a strength. And you'll be able to reach out to people that are unlovable, that are the unlikely ones, and you'll be able to give them gifts of trust. And maybe they won't rise to the occasion at first, but just give me time, and I'll be working in their lives as I can trust you to sow a good seed here and there. And you'll know you'll be able to ask me, Lord, what level of relationship am I supposed to have with this person? Mm-hmm. And if I tell you that it's just gifts of trust, you know, you may not get a positive response anytime soon. Then you can guard your heart, and you'll know that I'm just sowing seeds. Won't see it flower anytime soon, but I'll be happy to let the Lord sow gifts of trust and love through me.
Thank
Didn't
you.
Mean to make you cry. Are you okay?
Yeah, no, that's that made sense. It spoke to me, so just touched my heart.
Sometimes, Nancy, people say, well, when God heals me, you know, of what, say, sarcastic people, all the hurt they caused in my life, does that mean I won't have to deal with sarcastic people anymore? And, yes and no, because I'm just using a different example that you didn't mention, but if God heals us of all the hurt that sarcastic people caused us, one, we may have a season where we just get to heal, you know, and to enjoy that. But eventually, mm-hmm. what I find is when he makes our weak places strong, eventually those sarcastic people will come back into my life, not because I'm having to reap them because I sow judgments against them, but this time they come back into my life because I was healed and because I was comforted by God, then he can begin to trust me, maybe to love some of them, hopefully not all of them at once, but you know, to begin to show them some love, and maybe they won't have to be so abrasive in the future.
Mhm. I feel like I trust people, and you know, even though I've been hurt, sometimes I just feel like I set myself up for a disappointment. Can you do that, or mm-hmm. am I just being too sensitive and not being healed?
What I heard the Lord saying in the Word was, "Ask me what level of relationship I'm planning," because some people you can only sow seeds into. They don't give back. Some people are takers, and you can teach, you can show them how to give, but they don't give back. And it doesn't mean that God is trying to hurt you. It means that as you're healed, he will still let some needy people come around who need everything to go their way, you know, and you'll be able to sow some love into their life without having to receive back.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Thank you. And I hope you'll write us at CWT@crosswalklife.com and let us know how it goes.
Okay, what is it again?
CWT, and that's like Crosswalk Talk. But our main website is crosswalklife.com.
Uh-huh.
And so if you'll just email us at CWT@crosswalklife.com. We'd love to hear the testimonies of what God does.
Okay. Thank you.
I'd like to be able to promise everybody smooth seas from here on, but usually what God does is he not only heals all the hurts that we've had, he makes us so strong in those areas that we're able to comfort other people that are hurting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Have a great night, Nancy.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. You can push that one again, and I think it'll mute you again.
Okay.
Okay, I have other callers, but no one has pushed the one saying that they'd like prayer tonight. So this is your time if you'd like to push that one. Okay, very good. Area code 404, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello, what's your first name?
Tiffany. Hello.
I do not know what this is about.
Oh, the young lady, did she hang up?
What was your first name?
My name's Tiffany.
I can't even hear it.
I don't think the other young lady is off the line.
How about call me right back?
Okay.
I'm so sorry. Apparently we don't have any control over that. I think part of what it might be is maybe a previous caller is still on the line. And if you are, if you'll push the one so that we don't hear you, that might help.
Yeah.
I can still hear someone.
Would you like a sandwich tomorrow? Sure. And do you want to wake up call?
I still hear someone that's got their phone unmuted.
Yeah.
Okay.
9 o'clock is like the day we've done.
We're hearing a conversation online. You could push one again so that we can't hear you. Okay, now if you were waiting to call, I'm sorry I had to hang up on them because they didn't know I was talking about them. If you were waiting to call and to receive prayer, please call right back. Because I think we have found the problem and resolved it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Please call right back. I believe that was area code 404. Oh, here's another one. If you would like prayer, just push that number one so we can pray for you. Area 404, what's your name, please?
Tiffany.
Say it again.
Tiffany.
Tiffany. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
And do you have a question or an issue that we can pray about tonight?
Well, I guess really more of a prayer request. Far as financial, I've been experiencing just suffering in that situation in my business, and I wasn't sure if it was still tied into. For a while, I was dealing with unforgiveness with a pastor friend, and I've gone through recently through like Sozo or Deliverance regarding that.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel better to an extent, but I haven't seen any changes as far as the business portion.
Tiffany, can you see any kind of repetitive pattern in the finances of the business? Because patterns are usually a tip to where we can pray and break the power of the problem.
Yes, I do. I've had situations before, but this has been like the most devastating for me. Because I had loaned that pastor a large sum of money, and they gave me some of it back, but I didn't receive the rest of it. So I was dealing with that where I just finally said, I'm just going to let it go. So it hurt me greatly, and I was in a deep depression where I just couldn't really snap out of it. So,
okay, what we need to do then is break the power of a pattern that was set when the devil set you up to judge or to resent the pastor.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'd like to lead you in prayer if you have the courage to do this over the phone. And we can have the power of agreement right now to break the power over your judgments against them. God will deal with them for not paying you back or whatever issues are on their end, but we want to agree with you that you will be free on your end and not have any bad fruit going on your tree.
Exactly.
And then God can restore your finances when there's no more sinful reactions associated with them.
Yes.
Okay, so right now, let's ask the Holy Spirit to bring to your mind any, we can make it short. We don't want to embarrass the pastor, but we want to pray for you. So let's just come up with short, like kind of like name calling, judgments that you might have had against the pastor. Any names you might have called them in your mind for not paying you back that you can repent of?
A con artist.
Okay.
Witch.
Let's just start our sentence right now. Say, Lord, I repent of my judgments.
Of my judgment.
Against them.
Against them.
Calling them con artist, a witch.
Calling them con artist, witch.
What else?
Jezebel.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
I said Jezebel.
Mm-hmm.
That's really it.
Okay, because I know there's some people listening that say, well, I would have called them more than that. So, and it seems normal and natural, but God says whatever you judge people for, you'll be judged for the same thing, that there's no excuse for you, a man who judges another. And especially when it's authority figures, we're supposed to turn these folks over to God and say, God, if you see it my way, you judge them. You know, you straighten this out. And are there some things that you would, do you need to ask God to forgive you for not forgiving them sooner?
Yes, I definitely.
Say, Lord, I ask you to forgive me.
Lord, I ask that you forgive me.
For not forgiving them sooner.
For not forgiving them sooner.
And holding bad attitudes in my heart.
And holding bad attitudes in my heart.
Like resentment or...
Like resentment.
And then anger and unforgiveness.
Anger, unforgiveness.
Anything else?
That's it.
I ask you to forgive me for...
I ask that you forgive me for...
Any way I've blamed you, God.
Any way I've blamed you, God.
For letting a pastor treat me this way.
Letting the pastor treat me this way.
Anything else you may have blamed God for?
Allowing me to even entertain such a person, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. Or blaming God for not showing you not to deal financially with this man, is that what you're saying?
It was a female pastor.
Hmm.
It was a female pastor. For
a woman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I blame God for not warning me sooner, so I wouldn't even get mixed up with somebody. You know.
Yeah.
Are you ready to forgive yourself for taking offense or letting the devil trick you into taking offense and getting in trouble with God for? Judging these folks.
Yes, I am.
Okay, Father, I thank you for Tiffany, and I thank you that she has renounced her judgments, that she has renounced the names that she's called them, that she's repented of judging them and sowing disrespect and dishonor toward the pastor. I thank you, Lord, that she is releasing you from all blame where she's accused you of not warning her or accused you for letting her get involved with them and letting her lose money and go into this depression. And, Father, whether this depression is more about being angry at others or angry at herself or both, we break the power of it tonight. We just come in your name with your word to say when a person is forgiven, they are totally forgiven. We thank you for your blood that provided forgiveness on the cross. We thank you for the cross itself where she can take this pattern of having judged authorities, of having dishonored authority, and say the pattern is broken and she will not have to reap this over and over. It will not continue to be bad fruit on her tree, that she will be able to sow new trust, new seed, new finances into new ground and have a different result that you can bless because she will hear your voice to know who to deal with. And the Lord says, I will be good to to tell you what level of relationship to have with them, who to have financial dealings with. I will be happy to connect you with spiritual leaders who can be trusted, but also I want to work in your heart, the Lord says, to be able to show grace to people that make commitments and then, to their surprise, are not able to keep it. And so the Lord says, not only will you be strong to know who to deal with in the future, but you'll also be able to give grace to those who fail in this same way. Can you believe it?
Yes.
Because if you've made an inner vow, I will never trust a pastor again, or I will never go into, you know, a financial relationship with someone again, then just let it go and say, I want to.
Well, I made the inner vow that I made was to keep my heart guarded from not, to make sure that I won't have a pastor to really get to me like that.
Okay, a lot of people.
Where I was that trusting.
Leaders. A lot of people have been hurt by spiritual leaders, but you see what the devil's strategy is. He wants us to be suspicious of spiritual leaders and to never have the depth of relationship that we can have with them, whereas other people may freely make appointments, go into their office, have the best time with them, and we'd be hanging back. And the Lord says, the devil has come in to try to separate you from others, from me, even yourself. But I want to repair that tonight, to restore you so that you can enjoy a new oneness, a new closeness with others and with me, the Lord says, and with yourself.
Amen.
That you'll have more love instead of less because of this experience. You'll be able to love others more, even when they fail you, because you're not just looking for it to happen. You don't have a bitter root expectation. In Hebrews, you know, it says, be careful lest a bitter root spring up in you, in Hebrews 5:14. So we just say, in the name of Jesus, by his supernatural power, we take the axe to any bitter root that has sprung up that would cause you to, Tiffany, to not be able to come into covenant agreements with spiritual leaders. And we say that you will be restored in such a way that you will be more able to be close to spiritual leaders. And where the devil struck in this area, it will actually become a strength.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, please write me at CWT@crosswalklife.com and let me know how it goes.
Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Okay, thank you. Now, if you'll just mute the phone again, we won't have that double sound going on again.
Hello.
Hallelujah. I still hear you. Okay. Area code 254, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello. What's your first name?
Christy.
Christy. Do you have a question or a prayer request tonight?
I have sort of both a question. I just would like to know if the Lord would like me to go ahead and pursue my classes and pursue finishing my degree right now, or if he has another direction he wants to take me in right now.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Let's see. Oh, me. Is there any aspect of that needs prayer before you can go on, Christy?
Prayer, really just for guidance in my life, just in all areas of my life. If you could just pray for guidance and for me to just be able to hear his voice more clearly.
Mm-hmm. I think that's it. You've hit it on the head right there, that is really where God's going with this whole thing. Is the Lord says, Christy, I just want your ears on my chest. And I've allowed so many questions to come up right now. And they're big questions and they're important. But the Lord says, where I'm going with this is I really want to teach you how to keep your ear next to my heartbeat, and your main desire will be to hear me, to hear my voice, to be in oneness with me, in agreement with me. And while this has been your desire, the Lord says, through this situation, you're going to be able to learn how to hear me as you go. As you go. And I know you'd like a blueprint tonight, and you'd like to know the end from the beginning, but the Lord says, my heart is for you to want to hear my heartbeat. And as you do, I'm going to make your vision, the vision I have for you, more clear. And as it becomes more clear to you, you're going to be able to see what things go with that vision and what things don't. But it won't be so clear. It won't be so clear like tonight that you will know. And don't be disappointed, because I'm exercising you and hearing my voice. And in times past, you have thought, well, people can't really know. You know, they do the best they can. You know, I'll figure out the pros and cons. And the Lord says, no, you're not going to be one of them, that you're going to be one that can really hear my voice. And I've allowed there to be situations where you really need to hear me. And it's not because I'm trying to be tricky, and it's not because I haven't heard you. But the Lord says, I want you to hear me with such a confidence that you'll be able to be more decisive in these areas. I want you to be able to hear me and receive my love to heal the places that have been hurt in your heart. I want to heal you and to bring a healing balm, even like a shepherd would rub that oil into the wounds of the sheep. And the Lord says, as I bring this healing, you're going to know. And I'm going to give you two or three confirmations even in the next week or two, so that you will know where I'm guiding you for now. And then the vision will become more clear later. And you're going to see that some people will intersect your path as you walk in my will and hear my voice, and others won't. And I'm going to be sorting all that out for you. And you're going to know. And you won't have to make it happen. And you won't have to figure it all out with your mind. But as you keep your ear on my chest and hear my heartbeat, I'm going to sort it out for you, and you're going to see the confirmations come even in the next 2 weeks, and you're going to see that some people will fall in line with what I'm showing you and others won't.
Okay.
I know you wanted to hear tonight.
No, that is good. That is actually kind of confirmation. That is what I've been feeling like God has been wanting me to do, is just to really press in with him and hear him more and spend more time in his presence and to kind of be led by him. And so I just wanted to call tonight and make sure that there wasn't something huge that I was missing.
No, I don't hear that. I believe that you can see that, you know, it's different with God, because we think the goal is, you know, somewhere down the road that we're going, and we want God to tell us where we're going, and then we can figure out how to get there. But God's goal is for us to know him intimately today and every day on the journey, and where he takes us is almost like kind of like incidental in comparison. It's his goal for us to be able to hear his heart every day is so huge to him.
Wow.
So that is the goal as far as he's concerned. You've already reached the goal if if your main goal is to know him and to hear his voice.
That's good. That's really good. I'm trying.
It's almost like if you have a child and their goal is to, you know, to start school, and they just love it that other people are going to school, but they want to be able to go to school, you know, and all they can talk about is going to school. And they think that that's all you're concerned about, is that they go to school. It's so big to them. But you want to be able to love on them every day, right, between now and then.
Right.
And you want them to enjoy your love before and after school and all the time, because you know that love is the most important thing.
Right, and there's so much more than that. That makes sense.
Well, God knows that you're wondering about school. Definitely got the answer, but kind of like Corrie Ten Boom's father told her when she kept asking him for the train ticket. You know, she was so excited about going on the train, and she wanted the train ticket, and she wanted the train ticket, she wanted the train ticket. And he said, Corrie, I will give it to you when you're ready to get on the train. And so I used to get kind of sassy with God, and I'd call him a last-minute God, and why can't you do things before the last minute? But I didn't understand that God wanted me to enjoy the relationship every hour of the day and to trust him.
Right. Right.
So I can't help it. This is an exercise in trust.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you.
You will have the ticket in time. You will.
Okay. Thank you very much.
We love you. Be blessed. Okay. Area code 812. Welcome to the program.
Hello. My name is Linda.
Linda.
Yes.
I'm glad you called. Do you have a question or a prayer request tonight?
Well, thank you for taking my call. I'm glad to be speaking with you. I've been praying about connections, and especially spiritual connections, because I feel that God has things that he wants me to do, and there's been a lot of obstacles to overcome through the years. I have testimony about my life that I feel like will minister to other people.
Okay, well, what's your question tonight?
Well, my question is, I don't have a church that I'm meeting in right now, and my husband, he's not willing to go anywhere at this point, and there's just a lot of things that have happened as far as, like, mistrust and things, as you know, on his part, and I've had rejection too. But I really want to get over that. I want to be able
to. How can I pray for you?
I'm sorry.
How can I pray for you tonight?
Will you please pray that God's will be fulfilled in my life, and that I be where I'm supposed to be, because I really want to be used by him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I need help in things that have happened as far as finances. I'm getting into a new business. I have songs that I've written. God anointed me with the gift of songwriting about 7 years ago. I want to do some things with those. I'd love to be in a church setting to sing.
Okay. Well, what we're doing tonight is we're praying for you about one issue.
Mm-hmm.
One issue. That's what we're doing. And so, Father, I just thank you for Linda. I thank you that even though she has many, many questions in her mind right now, that you are giving her the direction that she needs, and you are orchestrating all things. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're the great orchestrator of all things. I thank you that you have put songs in her heart, and that you are teaching her how to be a worshiper first of all, and that through that worship, that power will come, that bondages will be broken, that people will be healed, and even your own heart will be healed, the Lord says. And the Lord says that there have been some things that have come into your life, and you've seen it like obstacles from the devil. The Lord says, I'm also allowing you to experience some adversity, kind of like adversity, because I'm growing your faith and making it stronger. Not so much like letting you suffer to teach you a lesson, but the Lord says, you've asked me. you've asked me, you've wanted to be that person that could obey me, to know my will, and to be an overcomer. And I'm bringing you to a point where you will know that you know that you know my direction, even if others don't go with you. And the Lord says, I'm promising you that regardless of what your husband chooses to do or say, that it will not limit my faithfulness to you. And so I'm just sweeping away all the worry about that and the anxiety about that, that sometimes you're not on the same page. And the Lord says, I'm not calling you to rebel, but I am calling you to trust me, that I have known what his responses will be, and I am leading you and guiding and guarding and directing you in a way that you can fulfill your destiny and what I've called you to do, regardless of what anyone else does. And the Lord says, I will be connecting you with people who can mentor you, who you will be able to trust, who will understand what I've called you to do, and will pour into you, not just because they're like using you to build their vision or their empire or their church, but the Lord says that as you believe me for it, I'm connecting you with someone who will believe in you, consider it an honor to invest in you, who will understand what I've called you to do, and be my love and acceptance to you. But the Lord says you're going to have to renounce all the ways that you've dishonored, all the ways that you've judged others, and even blamed them. And the Lord says, as you renounce those things, choose to trust me. Choose to trust me that I have everything under control, that it will be my delight to minister through you and for you to be my voice. And the Lord says, I'm just calling you tonight to make a list of all the ways that the devil's tricked you into not trusting me and blaming people and all that, and just repent of it all so that you can say, Lord, I choose to trust you. I choose to believe that you're orchestrating all things for my good. I choose to believe that you love me perfectly and that you are directing my steps. And so I don't tolerate this murmuring and anxiety any longer. I'm just choosing to believe that you are directing my steps. And no matter what my husband or anyone else chooses to do or say, that I will be able to receive your love, I'll be able to hear your voice, to know your direction, and to fulfill your plan for me in fullness and in fulfillment. And I thank you, Lord.
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate that very, very much. And I know it wasn't a chance that I've came across your name and how to come on this call. And God bless you so much. And I do want to send you information about what God does.
Okay. BWT at crosswalklife.com.
Okay. Thank you.
Have a great night.
Thank you.
Thank you. Area code 215. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello, hi.
What's your first name?
My name is Shamel.
Say it again.
Shamel.
Shamel.
Yes.
Okay, beautiful. What state are you in?
I'm in Philadelphia.
Okay. Now, tonight we're sharing one question or one issue that you want prayer about, and we're praying for you. There may be other people involved, but we'll be praying for you. And what would that issue or question be?
I just went through a very devastating divorce. My husband just changed on me after all these years. Kids are devastating. So I've been praying to God about giving me signs. Will it be restored? I'm so angered. So I'm not sure if God has shown me my dreams or is it a trick from the enemy. Because he's been showing me things. Even when he was unfaithful, God showed me the woman. I met her. Everything played out to pass, and it came to pass. So now I'm just kind of like at the point where, I don't know what's going on.
He's with another woman now?
Mm-hmm.
And you're divorced?
Yes, just recently.
Okay. All right. But he hasn't remarried yet?
No, he was with her while we were together. He wasn't like this. He just changed. His family's from, like, Haiti, and they turned against me, and then he went from loving me, I'm talking about to literally changing against me. He used to be a great dad, and he just turned against me. He didn't even talk to me. He used to be best friends, and the girl, I met the girl, and she didn't seem to, now he claims he's happy, and it's, I don't know what happened. It's like a demonic presence. I don't know what happened. It's just devastating all around.
And you want him back?
Well, I don't know what God is. I don't know. I've been asking God. Like, I've been so angry, and I have to forgive. And we have kids together, and the kids are praying. When we pray to, like, God, you know, we want Daddy home. And I don't know what happened to him. I don't know. Like, it's a lot, I don't know. I just don't know. I'm at a point where I'm kind of like, it's just devastating for us all. Because it's not. It was never used to be him. He just changed. Like, I don't know what to even say. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's like a demonic stronghold just took over him, and I don't know. It's just the scariest thing ever.
So is the Lord asking you to continue to pray for him?
Yeah, I don't know I've been asking God, you know, should be restored. I don't know what good could come from this. I'm kind of like a big question mark in my head. Like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I've been asking God for visions. He's giving me dreams about what's happening to him. And I don't know if the dreams are from God or the dreams that I've been praying. I don't know. I don't know what to say at this point. I'm just like, just
you want to share a short dream?
I'm sorry. Yeah, do I want to share a short dream? Yeah, I was praying, and I was writing a letter to God, and then I fell asleep for like 10 minutes, and God showed me where we were hugging, and I said, I love you, Stephen, and he said, I love you too. And he said to me in the dream, let me take care of it. And another dream, before the adultery, I saw the girl in the dream. He didn't tell me. I didn't know he was having an affair. He just moved out of our bedroom. I saw the girl in the dream. I spoke to her. The next week later, I saw the girl. I spoke to her, and it came to pass. I saw her, and I have an anger problem, so I think God showed me so that when I saw her, that it was by surprise. And I was telling her about God, and I told her I loved her because greater is he in me than he is in the world, and I don't know where that came out of my mouth. It was the Holy Spirit. So now I'm kind of like, she was just like someone that was still married, and she seemed resentful, like she didn't know, but she's still with him. And she sent me text saying, leave her man alone. Robert was still married. So the whole thing is like, just like, I don't know, like, who this person is anymore. So,
mm-hmm.
And his family.
Wow. You're caught right in the middle, it sounds like, because, you know, if a person divorces you and they remarry, then the Bible says, let them go. Don't be going back and forth. You know, if they divorce you and remarry, then even if they
divorced him, actually. We were in the works of divorce, and we started filing the papers, and he wasn't really, like, getting to do. He was kind of, like, dragging his feet. And then when I met the girl, I just went to the lawyer and paid his money and just did it because it was just like kind of like, okay, he's with somebody else. And I was so hurt
but
and angry.
You divorced him, and now you don't know but what you might want him back.
Yeah, I don't know because I'm thinking about restoration and God hates divorce. I see how Satan has stole my kid's joy, stole my joy, and I'm mad at that. So I feel like in my head, like, God, what do I do? Do I wait and make you restore because you can do anything? Or do I wait because this had to happen this way? I'm kind of
Okay, here's the deal. First, you need to get your focus on what God wants from you. And the most that we can ever do, the best that we can ever do, is to get our side with God straightened out. And it sounds like, you know, you were reactive and you divorced him and now you're not sure if you're supposed to be divorced. So let's focus on getting your side straightened out with God.
Okay.
And there are several things that I'd like you to make lists about, okay?
Okay.
Because it sounds like this is really in the middle of a lot of complication. There's no easy answer. I would like you to make a list because he is was your authority, and he's an individual. The Bible says there's no excuse for you judging him, that's God's
right.
job to be the judge. So I would like you to make a list of every way that you have judged and dishonored him.
Mm.
We're not focusing on him, actually. This is not supposed
right.
to be a list of all his sins.
Right.
You're supposed to be able now to ask the Holy Spirit, where did I sin by judging and dishonoring him along the way? Because even if God has no intention of bringing him back and it's over, you still need to be right with God. So if you'll make a list of every way you've judged him, everything you haven't forgiven him for yet,
mm-hmm.
or took a long, sweet, you know, your sweet time forgiving him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like you to make a list of your sins in the marriage, not because I've heard God say you're going to get him back. That's not my focus. My focus is getting you right with God. Make another list of all the ways that you may have blamed God for not straightening him out sooner or warning you or, you know, keeping him away from the other women or whatever. And the fifth list is ways that you need to forgive yourself. And then ask forgiveness five ways. Say, Lord, I need your forgiveness. Please forgive me for judging and dishonoring him. And tell him the list. Forgive me for not forgiving him right away. Who am I not to forgive? Even if he's dead wrong. Forgive me for my own sins in this relationship. Forgive me for blaming you, God, questioning you, being disappointed with you. And I choose to forgive myself for falling for all of these traps of the enemy to get me out of fellowship with you so that I don't hear you clearly and I don't know whether I want to be divorced or married or what. After you ask forgiveness five ways, then you can begin to hear God's voice more clearly and to get direction, and you will not be just bouncing off what she says, what he says, what they're doing. You'll begin to have a confidence that you're hearing God and you're in agreement with God. That's the most important thing. The most important thing is not whether you get him back.
Right, and I know that it's just the hurt is.
Then God can heal you. See, once you start confessing your own sin, then you can give access to God to heal you because you're not justifying your sinful reactions and your sinful behavior anymore. You're confessing them. See, once, as long as we justify our right to be hurt, then we're going to be hurt because we're not repenting and giving Jesus access to healing.
It's so hard when you have the kids with praying, and I say, do you have any prayer requests? And the kids say, Mommy, I want to pray for God to bring Daddy home. Like, that's so hard when I hear these things. It cuts so deep in my soul that I get into the depression, and then I get the anger, and then when he dropped the kids off, I think about him and the other woman just being so happy, and how did you be happy in adultery? And I keep texting him the adultery.
Okay. Well, we can't go there unless
I know your sin.
I'm talking to you about your sin where the devil tricked you into being part of the problem.
He did, right.
Okay. I'm going to have to move on, but I want to tell you something very briefly. And again, I'm not going to go into other people's sin on the air, but I want to give you a general description of what's happening.
Right.
I had a situation where it was complicated like this, and I could have gone into serious judgment and bitterness against someone who, you know, was in a situation kind of like this where they were hurting me and causing me hurt and embarrassment and shame.
Mm-hmm.
Because a wonderful counselor in Atlanta, Ellen Ferry, taught me about asking forgiveness five ways, I was able to not only ask forgiveness five ways, to never even hold a grudge against the other person because I knew I just have to turn around and forgive them. So let's just don't even take offense in the first place. And this is for the future, but I want you to know how forgiveness works. It really works. If you can truly accomplish forgiveness, you will not only be free to hear God's voice, and God was able to bring me into this ministry and start it overnight right after these people hurt me. Because I already have been taught not to take offense. No, don't hold grudges. Go ahead and forgive. Don't even get started down that road. He was not only able to start me in this ministry, and I've been teaching it to other people ever since and helping them get free, but the very person that hurt me back then is now calling me for ministry, and I can do it because I don't have a root of bitterness against them. That's freedom. That's freedom when the person that hurt you can call you for ministry, and you can minister to them just like they're anybody else because you never held these grudges against them in the first place.
Wow.
It works, girl. It works.
Wow. Still hurtful.
I'd like you to go to my website, crosswalklife.com. You write that down, crosswalklife.com.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And in the search box at the top, or excuse me, you'll see a picture of a globe and eight icons around it. If you'll just click on the little life preserver by Restoration Prayer Ministry,
mm-hmm.
you'll see an article about Restoration Prayer Ministry, and it explains what it is to ask forgiveness five ways.
Wow.
And you can also put in the search box the crosswalk prayer. Please do this, crosswalk prayer. And it's already written out what I'd like you to pray, and when you make your list, you can just fill in the blanks, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
And we're going to beat this. The devil is not going to trick you into being in sin and out of fellowship forever, and whether that man ever comes back or not, you and your babies are going to be walking with God and in victory. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Hallelujah.
Thank
Good night.
You. Good night.
Good night. Okay, we have time for a couple more. Is there anybody else that would like to push that number one? And you can ask about one issue or one question. Now, Shamel, you need to mute your phone again. Who would like prayer next? Takes courage, doesn't it? I'm still hearing you. I need you to mute your phone. Push one. Okay. Need someone to push one that would like prayer. While we're waiting, I'll just encourage you again. Go to crosswalklife.com and in the search box, write crosswalk prayers. And you can see that crosswalk prayer there that will help you know how to ask yourself these questions. Am I part of the problem, God? I see this pattern in my life. You know, did I judge someone? Did I have fleshly inner vows? I'll never be like you. You know, did I dishonor them, disrespect them? Did I so sin myself? Did I have fleshly inner vows? I said that one. And it will help you hear the Lord where he wants you to ask forgiveness, so that you won't have to have a stronghold in your life. You won't be part of the problem. God will be able to work in everyone's life. He'll be able to restore the blessings and the rewards that you've lost. But when you take all this to the cross and ask Jesus to bring the whole pattern to death, then he can. It won't just be asking forgiveness for one sin at a time. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm just going to share a little bit more while I see. We have a lot of callers. If I see if anybody else has got the courage to call in, you don't have to tell a whole situation, actually, like these folks have done. I'd kind of rather you didn't. We want to keep it down to just what the question or the issue is. Area code 706, welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. It's Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Well, I'm doing good. I'm just enjoying this victory that I've had lately because, you know, it's one thing for the Lord to say to bless your enemies. It's another thing to be able to minister to them as if they're just anybody else.
I heard that, and that is absolutely the power of God at work.
It is. It's not me. It's him. But no, I said that wrong. I'm sorry. It's us. That's being one with him. You know, Jesus prayed Gethsemane prayers. And he not only prayed what he wanted, you know, is there a plan B? Get me out of here. You know, he not only was able to pray from his point of view, but in Gethsemane, Jesus was able to pray from our point of view. He was able to pray God's heart over his enemies that were plotting his death right then and there. Wow.
Well, I think that that more than anything, it takes, I guess, knowing who you are in him and where you stand with him, because, you know, it's hard not to be hurt by the stuff that comes against you. It's definitely unnatural. So it's a
well, I'm not saying it never hurt. I'm glad you put it that way. I'm not saying it never hurt. I did have to take it to Jesus and ask him to heal the hurt.
Yeah.
But I am saying that if we choose to ask forgiveness five ways, that he's faithful and just to come along and heal the hurt, and to make our weak places strong. And now I'm able to give the comfort that I got when they were hurting me.
That's awesome.
It really is, because, you know, it feels good to know the Christian life works. Sometimes I think we're afraid that maybe it doesn't really.
Well, I guess maybe, I don't know, maybe we complicate it. And I don't know. It seems overwhelming to try to make it work. But I think if you learn, and that, I guess, would be my biggest prayer. I do have a question.
What is it?
I was just wondering if you know, or if maybe this question will make sense to you, is operating in the flesh or operating in soul power, like the latent power, is that the same thing?
What were you saying, latent?
Yeah, like I was reading Watchman Nee's book about the latent power of the soul, and basically it's the Adam nature. He talks about all the ability and the power that Adam had resident within himself before he fell. And God did not revoke those powers. They were just sealed up and surrounded by his fleshly body and not operating. So I was just curious if that's the same thing as operating.
Well, I love Watchman Nee, and he is deep. I would like you to send me the page numbers so I can review that.
Okay.
Because every time I read, like, Spiritual Authority, for instance, by Watchman Nee, I feel like I've never even read it before. I learned so much.
I know. There's so much that you don't get when you go through it, and then you go back and see something else. It's definitely a challenging read. So I'll do
okay,
that.
Well, let me make a couple comments about it. And
okay.
Because I'm not sure if I am understanding the language that you're using. Where I'm coming from is I do believe God created us with a mind, will, and emotions that's neutral, that our soul is not a bad thing. Our personality is not a bad thing, and I don't even like it when some people say I'm dying to self, and I know some of the Bible versions will say dying to self. Having been to mental health for years, I don't believe that I need to die to my personality. I always
right.
joke and say there's some people, if I could deliver them of their personality, I would. I'd cast it out. But that's a joke. I believe that Romans 6 says that we are servants to whom we yield ourselves to obey. So my mind, will, and emotion is a slave to whatever I yield it to. Now, in our spirit, we're called to be one with him, like in Corinthians 6:17. He that's joined to the Lord is one with him. In John 17, that seems to be the biggest prayer we've got from Jesus, that we'll be one with him. And how can we do that? Well, I command my soul, mind, will, and emotions, and personality and all that, to bow down to my spirit that desires to be one with the Spirit of God. So before Adam fell, that's a long time ago, so I'm not quite sure what Watchman Nee's main point was there.
Well, okay, I'll send it to you so that you can see what I'm talking about, because he was just talking about how there was tremendous power in Adam. I mean, his job was to tend the garden, and then he goes into how big the garden was, and, you know, we couldn't sweep mm-hmm. our street that we live on three times one day and then be able to straighten our back out. So there was tremendous power resident within him that never knew anything evil prior to the fall. And then when he fell, a lot of those things that were just resident within him were wrapped up in flesh and just no longer active. I was just trying to, I guess, would you just agree with me that the Lord will help me discern what's my flesh, what's coming at me from
okay,
the
there we go. Now we've got it narrowed down to something we can work with. I let you bait me into that because I was a theology major, and I do like to understand God and what he's saying. On the other hand, I'm more into the practical. How can I be led by the Spirit, be one spirit with God, and how can I bring my flesh to the cross? So, is that where we are?
Yeah, that's what I want to be led by Him, to hear Him, to know His voice, and to not be distracted by these other things that I know aren't Him. I just don't know why I'm still dealing with Him.
And I'm not sure that I can say something different about that, because it seems like part of your calling, you know, to tear down strongholds and to oppose the works of the enemy, to discern them and to declare God's truth and to be in that kind of warfare. So I don't think I can make that go away. But
no,
flesh
you're,
now,
you're
that's another
the
subject.
Heart of the matter.
That's another subject. Flesh is definitely wrong all the time. And so, Lord, I just ask You to reveal any area where You would truly convict Lisa that she's operating in self-powered, you know, fleshly powered, apart from Your supernatural power, that it's her. Because You've said, not by might, not by power, but by My Spirit, says the Lord. And we want to be one with Your Spirit, be powered in the Holy Spirit, have Your supernatural power flowing through us for the smallest to the largest thing. And just like in the crosswalk prayer, Lord, on the website, that You would, we thank You that You'll be faithful to show her any area of her life, and it won't be a cloud of condemnation from the enemy that says, oh, you must be wrong, or you must be in the flesh, or you must be off track, because the enemy is still there. I ask You, Lord, to make it clear, because the enemy is there, and You have not promised to bring all demons to death this side of Armageddon or this side of the thousand-year reign or whatever theology you have. The Lord says, I will be faithful to give You clear conviction over specific things when you're in the flesh. And it's the enemy that gives you a cloud of condemnation that said you must be wrong somewhere. And I will be faithful to lead you into all areas where you can be one spirit with Me. You can be one even as I and the Father are one. And as you pursue Me, you'll find Me having already pursued you. You'll find Me there because My heart is to be one with you far more than you can imagine. And I'm not withholding any information. But the Lord says, I have called you to be My mighty warrior, and I will be adequate for that in you. And as we are one, you walk in victory. And in Revelation in 2 and 3, I have given you all these promises to those that overcome. You will not only have the crown of life, but all those promises are yours, Lisa. And I have called you to be an overcomer. And you can rest, because I will be faithful to show you if any of it's flesh, self-powered, because I've designed you to be a woman that walks in supernatural power. Amen?
Amen. Oh, thank you for praying. Thank you. You know, I just have this sense of peace that I have. You're absolutely right. And I was trying to make it simple by giving you that question. I really was trying to make it simple, but you cut right to the heart of the matter. And that's what I want. I have been so wanting to understand, God, is this something that I'm walking through for Your purpose, or is my flesh just all out of whack and I don't even realize it? And you got right to the heart of the matter. And I guess I should have just said that. I don't know. Thank you for praying.
Well, sometimes as we share, then we realize exactly what the question is. And so I'm not expecting everybody to have it crystal clear before they call, because then they wouldn't need to call. But I do believe the enemy's strategy to torture you is to put a cloud of false guilt over your head to say you must be doing something wrong, or there'd be no demons even tormenting you.
yeah.
or speaking to you or whispering or whatever they do, lying, deceiving. And I do believe that we can rest in the fact that the Holy Spirit convicts of specific sin. He doesn't say, oh, you must be wrong somewhere.
Right.
And that voice, you can tell it to go to hell. Never come back. That voice, you can shut up. That voice, you can command in the name of Jesus to be quiet. And, yeah, you have to do it every day, and it's over and over. But you have spiritual power and authority in this area. And believe me, if you grieve the Holy Spirit, it is His job to convict you of sin, righteousness, or judgment. He is faithful to do His job.
Okay, so it's not abnormal then for me to have to do it today and then have to do it again tomorrow. I'm so glad
well,
you
for
said
real
that.
Soldiers and real warriors, they have war every day.
I'm so glad you just told me that, because I thought something must be wrong or else I'd be able to get rid of this for good. I must be doing something wrong. God bless you,
I
Carlotta.
Don't see anywhere in the Bible where we can get rid of demonic voices for good. If you find it, I want to know about it.
Okay.
Because the devil's job is to whisper lies into our ears and to try to
right.
deceive us or intimidate us or hold us back or block us or cause us to try to do God's job for Him or something that's out of line with what we are supposed to be doing.
Right.
That's His job. It doesn't mean you're wrong.
Hallelujah. I feel so much better now.
If you will receive God's call on your life to be an overcomer, it's going to make sense, and I almost hesitate to even say this, but I hear the Lord saying, tell her it's going to make sense before long. And my impression, Lisa, means that as these end times really come to more of a climax here, you'll know why you were exercised in this boot camp every day for years.
Okay.
Because while others are in a panic, you are going to say, oh, it's a lifestyle. You'll get used to it. We overcome every day. We trust God every day.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for praying for me. I'm going to go and tell Him that I receive it and make it plain for me.
Well, and when you can get past the devil's lie that there must be something wrong with you, then you can own more of God's truth of who you are in Christ, and then you can declare and decree with more confidence.
Right. And that's,
as long
that's
as He can believe, as long as He can make you believe that His activity is your fault, then you're going to be chasing your tail.
Yeah. Amen. I know that's correct, and I mean, He is the accuser, and, you know, not that I want to give Him any glory whatsoever, but He's, if I can say anything, He's good at what He does. You know?
Well, so. What demons do is accuse us of what they're doing, right?
Right, right.
You can almost always discern a demon because it will accuse you of something that it's good at.
Makes perfect sense.
Thank you, Lord, for helping us discern them.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
You've been given the keys of the kingdom to loose and bind.
Yes.
And you're going to get past this thinking that you must be wrong if the devil's still loose, because unfortunately, God hasn't promised to bind him up permanently for quite a while.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be a while. He has promised to bind him up permanently, but it's going to be a while yet.
Right.
Okay.
Right, his timing, not in mine. Okay.
In the meantime, we get to grow to be mighty warriors, and I encourage everybody to read Revelation 2 and 3 and just take notes of what the overcomers get. There's a lot of rewards for overcomers.
Yes, there is.
So that's not an assignment to shun because... you know, we can get to heaven as wimps, but to be overcomers, man, it's wonderful. Just read it.
I think I will. I'll read it again before I go to bed.
Well, usually when it's preached, the letters to the seven churches, they focus on what the churches are doing wrong, and that's what the devil wants you to focus on. You must be doing something wrong. And if we are doing something wrong, we do want to repent and get on with it. But focus this time on what the overcomers get.
Okay.
Okay.
I will do.
All right. Be blessed. Have a great night.
You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Anyone else? We have time for about one more. Push that little one. We have callers on the line, and let me know that you have a question or an issue. Let me know. Push that one again, Lisa, and mute your phone. Anyone else want prayer tonight? Takes courage, I know. Area code 201, you're the winner. What would you like? Area code 201? Uh-oh. Area code 201? Okay, would anyone else like prayer? I don't know why they're not hearing me.
Hey, this is 201. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. What's your first name?
My name is Minister Badley. How you doing?
Badley?
Badley, B-A-D-L-E-Y.
Okay, I'm doing good. And you?
I'm doing great. God's been good to me, and he's been good to all of us. Now, my question here is pertaining to giving the devil too much glory.
Mm-hmm.
The devil, you know, when we give the devil too much glory, God kicked him out of heaven. He came down here to mess with his people. God gave us power through the Holy Spirit to tell that devil he has no power. So, therefore, things will come back at us, too. If we make a promise to God and say, God, I know I'm not going to do this, we will be tested. And it will come back at us until we pass the test.
Okay, what's your question?
The question is, why are they giving the devil so much glory? The devil made me do it. If the devil don't make us do anything, we allow him to.
No, but what the devil does do, like, for instance, in John Bevere's book about the bait of Satan, what the devil does is set you up to judge someone or to, stay in unforgiveness or to blame God. The devil just sets you up. We choose ourselves whether we'll have a sinful reaction, a sinful behavior, or whether we'll just stay in total agreement with God through the situation.
That's true.
The devil he's never made me do anything, but he will set you up to
That's
take
true.
Offense or to be upset with God or something like that.
But so that's when we got to recognize God would not make us be upset with him. So therefore, we should rebuke and bind that devil up and tell him, I'm sorry, but you're going back where you came from.
How can I pray for you?
Pray for me every day that I continue being that intercessor for the Lord, for God's people, that we will continue lifting up and encouraging God's people and sharing the love of God to all his people with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of his word and how to walk in it, talk it, live it, and show that God is truly working in us. Pray that I can continue on speaking the truth to God's people to help them to be released.
Okay, and what we're about tonight, what this program is about, is people that are just courageous and humble enough to call and say, what is the issue that would most likely keep you from doing that, and we'll target that.
Okay, there is nothing keeping me from doing it. All I want is, okay, what I would like to have from you is a virtue prayer put back in me. Because when you're interceding for someone else, you're letting the virtue out. I would like prayer so the virtue can come back into me, if that's okay with you.
And any specific virtue?
No specific one.
Okay. Father, I thank you for Minister Badley. I thank you for her heart to pray for others. And I just hear the Lord saying that I'm giving you that heart of flesh that's the good kind of flesh. I'm giving you that heart of flesh where you would not only be able to pray for others, but you would have that transparency and openness that they can pray for you. The Lord says, I'm just kneading your heart with my hands even right now. And the enemy would like to come along and give you a heart of stone where you can only pray for others but cannot let them inside your heart. And the Lord says, my desire is just a two-way stream with my living water flowing out of you to others, but also flowing from others into you. And I have called you to intercede for others. And the Lord says, I'm giving you insights. I'm giving you serious insights where, and I'm connecting you with people that have those insights, and they're even going to be able to show you how the Holy Spirit wants to work in your life, how my Spirit wants greater access in your life. And as you allow me to go even into the back rooms of your heart and you see how my Spirit works there, how I bring healing to places that are only partially healed, how I bring you out of areas where the enemy had even wanted to trip you up with shame as a child, the Lord says Isaiah 61, 6 and 7 will be yours, and you will be called a priest and minister of our God in new ways, and you will eat of the riches or the fruit, being the people, the souls that are saved of the nations. And as you trade in that shame, you will have a double portion. And the Lord says that you had thought that it was totally healed, but I'm going in and I'm asking permission and I'm knocking at the door, and the Lord says, I'm wanting to open up new areas where you can intercede for others out of the comfort that I have given you. And as you see me knocking at that door, don't protest and say, Lord, but I've already prayed through that. I thought it was totally healed. Just let me in. And the Lord says, I'm opening up new avenues of ministry for you and to you, so that as I show you my ways in ministering in these areas, then you will be able to minister it to others also. And there's going to be a new depth to your prayers, because the Lord says, and you've been pleasing to me, you've prayed and prayed and prayed, but the Lord says in some situations there's been a limit to it, and the enemy has wanted you to focus on praying over the surface issues and surface causes, but the Lord says, I'm bringing a new depth, even as you let me go into those past and forgotten heart issues, I'm bringing in a new depth, and you will be able to see with a new discernment how to pray over people's root causes and root symptoms, and then you'll see a greater breakthrough in a quicker way, because as they get freedom from the root causes, then the flower will come. The fruit will come. The freedom will come. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Pardon me?
Well, saying thank you. Have a blessed night. God bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, would anyone else? I still hear someone. You need to push one and mute the phone. I still hear someone. Is that you, Minister Badley? Need to push one and mute the phone. I'm so glad all of you called tonight. I'm hoping that was helpful. You might see a common vein through all of those. When there's an ongoing pattern in your life or anything that seems to be blocking you over and over, or you seem to be reaping the same kind of people over and over, those kind of patterns, you'll read about that in the Crosswalk Prayer at crosswalklife.com. But when there's a pattern, not just something that happens occasionally, then usually there's repentance on our end that needs to be done. And it might be a blind spot. You may have already repented over everything you know to repent of. But as you seek the Lord and say, is there anything on my end that's enabling this pattern to continue. You said there's bad fruit on my tree. There's bad fruit, a bad root on my tree. And so the Lord will be faithful. If you pray that crosswalk prayer, he'll be faithful to show you if there's any area where you need to repent. And some of you may not understand what a heart of flesh is. The Bible said that someone had a heart of stone, and usually a person with a heart of stone is not a person that doesn't care or won't minister to others, but they might be a person that can only minister to others because there's a place in their own heart that is walled in. And so when God wants to give us a heart of flesh, that is a good thing. It's not flesh like self-effort. It's soft. When he wants to soften our heart, he wants to expand it to make more room for himself. And when he gives us a heart of flesh, then we have not only his comfort, but we have an openness and a transparency about us where he can show us our blind spots and it won't shame us. We'll be grateful that he shows us our blind spots. We'll be happy to pray and repent and receive his healing and comfort and to let him make our weak places strong. Amen. So I want to encourage you, as you allow God to show you your issues and to pray over them, you can come out of agreement in any way that you've been in agreement with the devil, some kind of lie or deception or something like we've talked about tonight. And you, then you can walk in total agreement with God and have a new courage and a new confidence. I want to encourage you, just encourage you to just to turn your eyes upon Jesus, even right now. Just turn your eyes upon Jesus. Trust him to show you if there's an area that you need to take through the crosswalk prayer. You just go to crosswalklife.com, put crosswalk prayer in the search box, and let God take you there. If you click on Restoration Prayer Ministry or search for that, you can find out more about asking God for forgiveness five ways and getting those areas restored. If you'd like videos on how to become that mighty warrior that we were talking about, go to nowfaith.tv. Or if you'd like personal one-on-one restoration prayer ministry, you can call me at 724-206-0530, 724-206-0530, and that's between 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, please. We want you to be able to grow. Whether you want to order our Tearing Down Strongholds course, go to our ministry training school online at nowfaith.tv. Whether you'd like to just start out by reading articles on Crosswalk Life, we want to help you grow and to be here for you. And I hope you'll join us next week for more Crosswalk Talk, more prophetic prayer and ministry, more insight. And be prepared and equipped to fulfill your destiny. Amen.
turn around.